Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we're going to pick up at the end here of this chapter, verse 13, and then read through all of chapter 20. Ecclesiastes 9, 13 through chapter 10. This is the word of the Lord. Listen carefully. I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might. Though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard, the word of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offense to rest. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stone is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of the nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And the congregation said, Amen. Well, as we've been exploring the book of Ecclesiastes, you probably have noticed that wisdom and folly show up quite a bit. Solomon, as he explores this short, vain life, has shown that human wisdom has its limits. It's corrupted by sin, and yet human wisdom is to be desired over folly. The problem is humanity desires folly. Now here we need to define folly. In Hebrew there are several words for fool and folly. The words used here are kesel and sakal. Kesel is the most common word for fool in the Old Testament, where sakel is used primarily in Ecclesiastes. The fool probably most commonly thought of in the visible church is the fool who says there is no God. That is not kesel and that is not sakel, that is Nabal. All clear? Problem is, in English, guess what we interpret all of them as? Fool. So how do we define these words? Depending on who you talk to, Jewish or Christian commentators, Nabal is the greatest of fools because Nabal denies God. Sakal is considered just a general term for fool or foolishness, and it's used interchangeably with Kessel. So that brings us to Kessel. How do we define Kessel? What's the difference between Kessel and Nabal? Well, the book of Proverbs helps us because the book of Proverbs actually defines Kessel for us in chapter 18, verse 2. A fool, Kessel. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. This is a Kessel. This is a fool. And this is the folly that Solomon refers to the most in Ecclesiastes. Actually, in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, the fool that Solomon speaks of the most is Kessel. The one who takes no pleasure in understanding and only in expressing his opinion. Kessel is not primarily anti-God. Kessel is anti-understanding. It's proud ignorance. It's a folly that believers and unbelievers are susceptible to. And this is what Solomon is going to examine with us in these passages, in these verses here. The first illustration brings hope because it examines wisdom. And yet, as it gives us hope, it reveals a common struggle within our world. That the story is about an underdog, and humanity loves the underdog. Some have tried to link this to a specific historical event, but this is wisdom literature. There doesn't have to be a specific historical event. It's a parable. It can be fictional because it's wisdom literature. A small city faces a great king, and it's rescued by a poor, wise man. We're not told how his wisdom delivered the city, just that it does. But then, tragically, he's forgotten. Wisdom wins the day, but the one who was wise is forgotten. And yet Solomon declares that even if the wise man is forgotten, that is far better. Wisdom is greater than might. Then he declares that wisdom is quiet compared to the shouting of a ruler among fools. And again, the word here is Kessel. Solomon paints a picture of the benefits of wisdom. And yet, as he does in this first illustration, you understand that the world is tilted not towards human wisdom, but folly and sin. Wisdom is better, but people prefer shouting. Wisdom is better, but sin can destroy much good. And then in chapter 10, Solomon goes to focus primarily on folly, and yet wisdom continues to pop up. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right. And here you have to understand, this isn't direction. This is right as in referring to a place of honor, a place of power. Wisdom leads us to the proper direction, to the proper place. In verse 4, though wisdom is not mentioned, it's revealed in quietness and calm. The wise do not react hastily to the anger of their ruler. The wise remain calm and they wait. Wisdom is revealed in slow reactions, quite a contrast to today's culture and in Solomon's day as well. Humanity wants to react. We want to do something. There's always a push to do something. But Solomon declares it's better to remain calm. Then wisdom is seen as it brings success in verses 8 through 10. The images in these verses is of an individual who just acts. They do not stop to think, they just do. The one who is wise calculates, plans, assesses, and is therefore successful. And therefore the words of the wise win him favor. The wise are calm, observant, quiet, and their words win them favor. The wise are also revealed in knowing when to celebrate in verse 17. The wise are not stoic. They understand they are to enjoy life. We've already gone through this with Solomon. We know that the way we enjoy God is that we enjoy his good gifts. But in this chapter, what is revealed is you enjoy them in their proper time. The wise understand that bread is for laughter and wine gladdens life. And as I mentioned as we explored chapter 9, bread and wine were common elements. This isn't in reference to some royal feast. This is just a common meal. Common food is given for the enjoyment of life, and so the wise enjoy their common food. The wise also understand money answers everything. Now that may jar you a bit because you go, wait, hasn't Solomon already warned about the love of money? Yes, he's warned us about the love of money. He's warned us about the pursuit of wealth. And the New Testament reaffirms this in 1 Timothy 6. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of money, the desire for it, the obsession over it, results in all kinds of evil. But money answers everything in this small, vain life. Do you see the struggle? Money is needed, but love for it harms us. Money answers everything in this short, vain life, and yet we obsess over it. Money pays the bills, it provides foods, it gives comforts, it aids the poor. Money is used for the advancement of the gospel. Think of Lydia, who we met this morning, the seller of purple. I didn't get into it. The seller of purple. Purple was an expensive color. Lydia was a successful businesswoman and would have been very well off. Lydia may have been the primary person who supported Paul in Thessalonica, Corinth, and Rome when the Philippian church was supporting him. Money's useful. Money is the answer to everything in this short, vain life. But the wise understand it can be a snare. Just as they understand everything that God gives is good. But everything that God gives is not to be worshipped. It's not to be hoarded. It's only to be used. The wise are practical in all aspects of life, and therefore when they face threats, they remain calm. When they face toil, they ponder the best way to accomplish the task. They guard their words, they guard their actions, they use what God has given them so that they can enjoy this short, vain life, because in doing so, they enjoy God, and more importantly, they show that they fear God. They reverence Him. The wise make the best use of what they've received from God, because in doing so, they show that they reverence Him. The picture Solomon paints of folly is the opposite. And again, because of the words that Solomon uses, you are to see folly here as proud ignorance. First, notice in verse 1 of chapter 10 that a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The illustration is that of dead flies in perfume. And the result is the perfume now stinks. It's useless. Folly here is linked to the stench of death. Just as a wonderful perfume is ruined by the death of a little gnat, so wisdom can be ruined by a little proud ignorance. Now, for us, this illustration may mean little, right? We live in a culture obsessed with hygiene because we are blessed with an abundance of fresh water. Not so where Solomon lived. Water was precious, and perfume and ointment were used to mask smells. They understood the devastation that could be caused by a little pesky gnat dying in ointment. And so it is with proud ignorance. Let's make it personal to our church and our culture. Lord willing, all of us desire that Christ is proclaimed in word and deed. But as we proclaim Christ, do we also boast of opinions based on proud ignorance? Do we have strong opinions on issues that we have little knowledge about? Do we voice those strong opinions? That is kesel. And I just saw somebody squirm, and I'm right there with you. Because that's just acceptable. And so it was in Solomon's day, and Solomon says, that is kesel. That is foolishness. James, the New Testament wisdom book, highlights this again when he challenges us on our tongue. He states this in James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Solomon begins with how devastating a little proud ignorance is, and then notice how he goes on to just apply it over and over and over again. Why? Because we're stubborn? Because we're thick-headed? Or, to use scriptural language, we are hard-headed? We are stiff-necked? And so Solomon lays it out over and over again. In verse 3, the fool announces to everyone he is a fool, as if that's going to be helpful. This is one who boasts of their little knowledge while telling everyone the way it should be. In verse 11 through 14, the emphasis is on the words of a fool, comparing them to a poisonous bite of a serpent. The fool's lips consume him. His words begin in foolishness but end in madness. His words are multiplied. He is one who boasts that he knows what will come. Have you ever met anyone like this? They know it all. They know what should be done, and they know what will happen, and they are absolutely confident that they have it figured out, and everyone should listen to them, and so they just keep on speaking. And by the time I got to this, I was thoroughly convicted, because I personally think this is one of the great dangers for every office bearer in the church. That people look to us for wisdom, and so we're just willing to, instead of grant wisdom, force our opinion upon others. What a great danger. They tell you how to live your life. Their way is the right way. Even if they've lived a very limited, sheltered life. And those who listen, Solomon says, follow a blind guide who can't even find a city. And that's supposed to be humor there, except we don't live in walled cities, so we don't see the humor. Can you imagine not being able to find a walled city? Can you imagine not being able in a hilly country to see a city on a hill? That's what this fool is. The fool is one who's puffed up. They know the answers even though they haven't studied the subject. To this fool, there are no experts except them. They're always right, and the result is they exhaust themselves from all their toil. Why? Because they're right. And no one can teach them anything because they never listen. And therefore, this fool never stops and thinks. And the preceding verses illustrate that. The fool builds a pit and falls into it. The fool is bit by the snake when he breaks through the wall. The fool is hurt by the stone and the logs. Why? Well, the answer is you've got to go all the way down to verse 10 because he doesn't use wisdom. The image is of an individual who cannot be told what to do. He falls into the pit because he didn't think where he was digging the pit. He's bit by the snake because he didn't explore the wall. He's exhausted from chopping wood because of the stupid axe, not because he didn't take time to sharpen it. The fool is one who is not only ignorant, but is proud of his ignorance. The fool is one who neglects the basics. Verse 18 reveals this. The fool is one who will do all sorts of things, exhausting himself, but neglecting what is actually needed. The fool is one who presumes and assumes positions that are not his. We see this as Solomon explores the rulers in verses 5 through 7 and verses 16 and 17. This fool is not merely one who is poor, but one who arrogantly assumes a position that is not his. A proud, ignorant fool is one who makes a leader out of a follower. A fool is a leader who celebrates at the wrong time. And through all these examples, what you grasp is this: the fool can be rich or poor, a leader or a follower. Status doesn't shield you from proud ignorance. Hard work doesn't shield you from proud ignorance. As a matter of fact, in chapter 10, you'll notice this, that hard work is actually associated with folly. So now when you see one sweating at their task, you have to ponder, is it because the task is great or because they didn't seek wisdom? Solomon doesn't pull his punches. He doesn't in Ecclesiastes. He's laying bare our pride. Ignorance is found everywhere. And therefore, Solomon ends with a warning. Guard even your thoughts, for you never know who will spread your thoughts and words. A fool says what he or she wants when they want, and to their embarrassment, it is discovered. Imagine desiring people to know Christ, and yet our witness is ruined by a careless word, a proud boast, or an opinion based on ignorance. Kessel not only reveals the opposite of wisdom, it reveals no humility. It reveals an unteachable spirit. And the struggle with this kind of folly, the struggle with Kessel, is that it is often perfectly fine in most cultures. It's okay to boast in ignorance. It's okay to express strong opinions with little support. And yet Solomon declares this foolishness ruins wisdom. Just a little of it. Think of it when it comes to the work of the church. Think of it when it comes to witnessing within the community. If we proudly boast in our ignorance, what will people think of our faith? And the challenge with what Solomon presents is this: most of us don't think we are ignorant. And most of us really think our opinions are based on truth. As Reverend Murray stated at the ladies' retreat, a few podcasts and a couple of online articles, and we think we know all there is to know on a given subject. That's Kessel. That's proud ignorance. And that little ignorance can cause us to stink like death instead of being the perfume of life. Solomon pitting wisdom and ignorance reveals once again the problem all humanity faces. We're blind to our pride. We're blind to our foolishness. Because let me just make an assumption. Most of us here have spoken and acted out of proud ignorance at least once in our lifetime. And if I may be so bold, quite possibly just once last week. Must you express an opinion on everything? Do you believe that you must be heard on every subject? Is your opinion really that important? And what is it based on? Do you actually have more knowledge than experts? Did the few articles that you read and the YouTuber who you follow qualify you to know more than a PhD? Solomon, in comparing wisdom and proud ignorance, cuts to the heart, doesn't he? Because if we're truthful, we've all done it. I'm going to give you a prime example. Well, everyone knows right there, that should be flashing red, flashing red. Proud ignorance about to be said. Well, everyone knows. And yet we do it, don't we? Because, well, everyone knows is going to somehow make our opinion true. All of us act and speak out of proud ignorance at times. Wisdom is far better, but a little proud ignorance outweighs wisdom. Left to ourselves, we are always claimed that we are wise in our proud ignorance. We will boast in a limited, fallible wisdom. And so the Holy Spirit challenges us through Solomon. Your best is never good enough. You and I need one who has no folly. You and I need one who is wisdom. Not only one who is wisdom, but one who can actually give us his wisdom. And once again, here is why we need Christ. We hear in 1 Corinthians 1 these glorious words that Christ is the power and wisdom of God. You see, our hope doesn't rest in gaining all the knowledge possible within this world, but in knowing Christ, who is the wisdom of God. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, "And because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." This next work week, you are going to encounter many who boast in many things, especially themselves. You're going to encounter people with proud ignorance, and you may be very tempted to join in. The challenge presented here and by the rest of Scripture is that those who know Christ are to boast in the Lord only. That's where our confidence is to rest. Not in our knowledge, not in our opinions, and certainly not in human wisdom. Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, are you boasting in your proud ignorance or in the Lord? Because the one who comes to the Lord humbles themselves. And they say, "I have nothing to offer this world but Christ, who is wisdom." It is a glorious place to be, but please hear me, humanity doesn't want it. We are addicted to our proud ignorance. Is Christ your wisdom, or are you trusting in what only smells of death? May Trinity know Christ, who is the power and wisdom of God. And may we only boast in the one with perfect wisdom and not ourselves. Because we save no one. Christ saves all his people. Oh, let us boast in the true wisdom only. Let us pray. Most merciful, gracious God, Father, as we are exploring Ecclesiastes, at times Solomon's word just causes us to say, "Ouch." For God, I confess, as I read this and think of proud ignorance, how many times have I expressed an opinion that has little to no support? How many times have my opinions been like dead flies in perfume, when all the while what we can offer is Christ, the power and wisdom of God? O merciful Father, may you help us deny ourselves, humble ourselves, and boast only in the Lord, so that your wisdom is revealed, not our proud ignorance. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.